It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owensby's cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 17th of May, the 144th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 221 days left until the end of the year. Tomorrow, Sunday, the 25th of May, is Mother's Day here in France, so I thought I'd read you a letter from Nizamuddin Sheikh from the Family Radio Listeners Club in Murshidabad, India, about how he feels about his mother and all mothers. First, I say that my ordinary hero is my mother. I know that ideally, true education is imparted by the parents. My mother's education gave priority to cultivating the heart and building character. Mothers play a special role, sort of a teacher, sort of a best friend, and the one who is beside us under all circumstances. An ideal mother can make her sons great men of the world by her careful teaching. Napoleon Bonaparte said, "Give me a good educated mother and I will give you a good nation." I believe all nations should educate women. Everything great in the world, all the works, beneficial and good, half must be created by women and the other half by men. Only women can teach baby boys affection, love, mercy, and compassion. So I say in the poet's language, little deeds of kindness, little words of love, make our earth happy like the heaven above. Yours faithfully, Nizamuddin Sheikh, Family Radio Listeners Club, Murshidabad, West Bengal, India. Thank you, Nizamuddin, and peace to all the mothers on earth. And yes, teach your children, especially your sons, to be peaceful.
You're listening to The Sound Kitchen on Radio France International.
Paul Myers is off today, but Erwan Rome, our trusty sound engineer, is behind the glass window in front of me at his mixing board. So all is right with the world. Still to come, the quiz, your answers to the bonus question on the listener's corner, and a tasty musical dessert from Erwan on Music from Erwan. So don't touch that dial.
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, cuz... it's time for the quiz. On the 26th of April, I asked you a question about the late Pope Francis, who died earlier that week. As the Vatican prepared to elect a new pope, we published an article about the men who were responsible for electing the next head of the Roman Catholic Church. You were to reread what happens now after the death of Pope Francis and send in the answer to this question. What are the nationalities of the 135 cardinal electors who elected the next pope? The answer is, to quote our article, currently there are 135 so-called cardinal electors, 108 of whom were appointed by Francis. Of these, 53 are from Europe, 20 are from North America, 18 are from Africa, 23 from Asia, 4 from Oceania, and 17 from South America, end quote. As you know, the cardinals elected Robert Francis Prevost, who's the first American to hold the post. He took the name Leo XIV as his papal name, and he was formally inaugurated to serve the world's 1.4 billion Roman Catholics this past Sunday. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question, which was inspired by the long-running BBC program Desert Island Discs. You were to write in with the names of the three records or audio recordings that you would take with you to an uninhabited island. You'll hear the answers later in the show, so stay tuned. The winners of this week's quiz are RFI Listeners Club member Christian Gibaudot from Tende, France. Christian is also the winner of this week's bonus question. This is what he wrote. I would take recordings by France Gall, my favorite singer when I was a child, Henry Mancini's Moon River, because it's in Breakfast at Tiffany's, one of my favorite movies with the fabulous Audrey Hepburn. I think of this song every time I'm in New York. And finally, Sufjan Stevens' Mystery of Love, because I heard it recently while watching the movie Call Me By Your Name. I found this song very appropriate for the movie. Congratulations, Christian, on your double win. Also on the list of lucky winners this week are AKM Nuruzaman, the president of the RFI Amour Fan Club in Rajshahi, Bangladesh, and Paresh Hazarika, a member of the United RFI Listeners Club in Assam, India, as well as RFI Listeners Club members Shadman Hosan Ion from Kishoreganj, Bangladesh, and Hans Werner Lolika from Hedehusen, Denmark. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. There were talks this past Monday in London between France's President Emmanuel Macron and the UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer after 5 years of rather tense relations between the two countries following Britain's exit from the EU in 2020. Aside from defense and security partnerships, as you read about in our article, EU and UK reunite in London for talks on diplomacy and defense, what other issues still creating tension are on the table? Reread our article, EU and UK reunite in London for talks on diplomacy and defense, and send in the answer to this question. Which three issues were also discussed? Issues which are still quite politically sensitive. Again, reread our article, EU and UK reunite in London for talks on diplomacy and defense, and send in the answer to this question. Aside from defense, which three other issues, one was highly contested during the Brexit negotiations, were discussed? You'll find our article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. This week's bonus question was suggested by Rafik Kondakar, the president of the Source of Knowledge Club in Naugaon, Bangladesh. His question is, what is your favorite animal and why? My favorite animal. That's hard. I love so many. Elephants are at the top of the list. Why? I'm not really sure. Mainly because they're so huge. They're just astonishing. But you always read about the lovely way they relate in their herds. But as I say that, I can see my little dog looking at me. And so I'll have to go with dogs. I've always had dogs. There were two at the house when I was born, and they probably slept in my cradle with me. I even had dogs when I was a university student, which the religious brothers who taught me allowed to come to class. How about that? The one I have now is named Scout, and she is an 11-year-old, very curious, and still full of energy, little fox terrier. What about you? What is your favorite animal, and why? Answer in your own words. Do not use AI. Your answer will be disqualified. Remember, we're always happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. You have until the 23rd of June to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 28th of June to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
This is The Sound Kitchen, and Susan Owensby's cooking.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. The question you answered this week was inspired by the long-running BBC program Desert Island Discs. Which three records or audio recordings would you take to a desert island? Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar wrote the words of the Holy Quran, two Islamic songs and three Bengali songs. These will bring peace to my lonely life, which in turn will bring joy to my mind, as well as mental strength, spiritual inspiration, and some relief. Radhakrishna Pillai wrote that he would take his favorite musical collections, which are, he noted, Boney M., masterful renditions of traditional ragas by the violin maestro Kuna Kudi Arvaida Anatan, and a collection of old and new Malayalam film songs. John Yami Sande Touré wrote that he would take some tasty melodies from my native Sierra Leone, some Afrobeat, and some Jamaican reggae music. That way, I will be feeling and thinking at the same time. Rodrigo Henrique wrote, just three? I'd have to bring Metallica. They're my favorite band, and I've heard them in concert twice. Any album from The Doors would also have to be there. Dancing music sounds good, considering the uninhabited condition of the desert island. Except, if I'm an inhabitant, would the island still be counted as uninhabited? Rodrigo, you do have a point. M. Gannison wrote, I would take to a desert island recordings by our Indian music genius, Maestro Ilya Raja, who composed music for more than 1,000 Indian films in many languages and with all types of music. He was also a symphony orchestra music conductor. Dipita Chakrabarty would also take music with her from her country. She wrote, India has one of the richest musical cultures in the world. So if I am stranded on a desolate island, I will take a collection of Indian folk, bol, and emotional sitar ragas to keep me rejuvenated, energetic, and happy all through my stay. Bol, by the way, are mystical songs of love for one god, performed by a minstrel as he goes from village to village, strumming his one-stringed ektara. Malik Momen Raza Kokar wrote, I would take albums of the famous Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, who produced a wide range of songs during his life. I love his devotional songs most. Next would be albums of the great Iqbal Bano, called Malika Ghazal. She was a singing actor in a lot of Pakistani movies, but with her great voice, she was also a very successful solo singer, as well as a famous Ghazal poetry singer. Third, I would take albums of the Pakistan folk music singer Tufal Niazi. He performed a wide range of Pakistan folk music, especially from my Punjab home. Father Stephen Wara wrote, my number one, no surprise, would be the 1953 Latin jazz piece Wachi Wara from the Cal Chatter Quintet. Note the Wara, ha ha ha. Father Steve Erwan Rum said he'd take, no surprise, Etienne Daho's Weekend à Rome. God, I feel left out. I doubt there are any songs with Owensby in them. Back to Father Steve's choices. Second, I'd take Natura by Ito, again, for the obvious reason of Ito Fils, Cameroon's legendary soccer striker, who won the 2015 and the 2017 Haiti Guitar Festival Prize. And last but not least, Nake Nairobi, or I Am Going to Nairobi, by Mbilia Bel and Tabule Rochereau from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Jocelyne Derrico would take with her, as she wrote, True Love, sung by Grace Kelly and Bing Crosby from the 1956 movie High Society. The song touches my heart and soul. It is genuine and gives me good and happy feelings. The Prayer, sung by Andrea Bocelli and Celine Dion, because it's a good duet and a powerful song for peace and justice. Finally, I would listen to Clair de Lune by Claude Debussy while staring at the stars, wanting to relax and awaiting rescue. Helmut Matt would take, as he noted, three dialogues with God, a musical offering by Johann Sebastian Bach, Souvenir de Hercules Furdo by Jakob Patzeler, and finally, the Misa Pape Marcelli by Palestrina. Jayanta Chakrabarty opted for three different genres of music. For classical, he wrote the Adagio from Bach's Violin and Oboe Concerto, which I heard in the Sound Kitchen recently. For jazz, Hello Dolly by Louis Armstrong. And for pop, Dana Winner's Women in Love. And just an extra to keep me vigorous, Michael Jackson's Billie Jean. Okay, you can have an extra one, Jayanta. We'll end with Kashif Khalil, who would take the records RFI has sent him. Louise Attaque, Freddie Masamba, and Kiala. That's a compliment, Kashif. I'm so glad you like our recordings. And I'll be sure to pass the compliment along to our colleague who's in charge of making the recordings and who is always so generous in letting us have a few copies for listeners. And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question, suggested by Rafiq Kondakar from Naugaon, Bangladesh, is, what is your favorite animal and why? Thanks again, Rafiq, for the idea. Do you have a bonus question idea? If so, send it to us at the Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr. And your weekly reminder, do not use AI. The Listener's Corner is about you and what you think. And it's very easy to spot AI-generated answers. Those answers are disqualified. And that's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating.
I'm Doug. Hello from Paris.
Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining me in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, and emails coming. Many, many thanks to Erwan Rome for his input and his mixing mastery, and thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next week, the 31st of May, for a special Music in the Kitchen program featuring your fellow listeners' music requests. The quiz will be back the following week on the 7th of June. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. This week, Erwan chose music from Astor Pantaleon Piazzolla, an Argentine tango composer, bandoneon player, and arranger. He was born in 1921 and lived until 1992. His works revolutionized the traditional tango into a new style called Nuevo Tango, or New Tango, and incorporated elements from jazz and classical music. A virtuoso bandoneonist, he regularly performed his own compositions with a variety of ensembles. What is a bandoneon, you may ask? Particularly popular in Argentina and Uruguay, it's almost always one of the instruments in a tango ensemble. It's like an accordion, but smaller. It's held between the hands and played by pulling and pushing air through bellows, routing it through sets of tuned metal reeds by pressing the instrument's buttons. The buttons are on both sides of the bandoneon. The left side produces a nasal and muted timbre, and on the right side, the sound is bright and sharp. Even without all the register switches found on accordions, the bandoneon can be played quite expressively. Back to Piazzolla and his creation of Nuevo Tango. In 1953, he wrote the symphony Erwan chose for us, the Buenos Aires Symphony in Three Movements, which was a straight-ahead classical composition, but with two bandoneons added to the traditional symphony orchestra. He entered it in a prestigious competition and won, and off he went to Paris to study with the composition teacher of the 20th century, Nadia Boulanger, from whom he hid his tango and bandoneon compositions. When she finally heard them, she encouraged him to pursue that path of composition. The Grande Dame recognized that was where his talent lay. So he took her advice. In New York City, he was introduced to jazz and included elements of that genre in his compositions as well. And there you have it, Nuevo Tango. Nadia Boulanger was right. He had a very successful career as a musician and a composer by staying close to what he knew in his bones, the bandoneon and his native country's tangos. So here it is, the Buenos Aires Symphony in Three Movements by Astor Piazzolla, performed by the Radio France Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Leonardo Garcia Alarcón. Enjoy. And thanks, Erwan, for another musical adventure. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends, and be a blessing. Be a rainbow in someone's cloud.